Hassan Nasrallah is going to deliver a speech there to mark the 1 week for the assassination of its military commander, Imad Muqniya, and also the assassination of former Hezbollah Secretary General Abbas Mousavi. Let's take a listen.
And may peace be upon his family and his companions. And may peace be upon all of you. At the beginning, on my behalf, on behalf of the family of Imad Mughniyeh, and on behalf of the Hezbollah leadership, and on behalf of every mujahid in the Islamic resistance, I would like to thank all those who sympathized with us and expressed their sympathy and offered their condolences for the martyrdom of Imad Mughniyeh. I want to thank our great marjas, and I want to thank all the spiritual clerics and leaders, and I want to thank all the presidents and former presidents, ministers and former ministers, and all political leaders and all military figures and all personalities and media personalities in Lebanon and all over the Islamic, Arab and Islamic world. And I want to thank all those who commemorated the memorial of Imad Mughniyeh anywhere in the world. And I want to specifically thank the grand Ayatollah Ali Khamenei for his special sympathy that he expressed through the letter that he sent it to us, and through the love that he showed, that he expressed in his speech and also in his letter. And also, I want to thank Iranian President Mohammad Ahmadinejad, who also sent us a message and also sent a high-ranking delegation that represents the Iranian leadership. I also want to thank
Hassan Nasrallah.
Tens of thousands of
got problems in receiving the pictures there, but we hope to get him back. Here we are.
The assassination of Imad Mughniyeh. I want to thank you all for coming also on the anniversary of Martyr Sayyid Abbas al-Musawi, the former Secretary General of Hezbollah, and the anniversary of Sheikh Raghib Harb, who was assassinated by Israel, and also the memorial of our great, of the great leader, Imad Mughniyeh. Your participation today and your attendance today means so much to us, means so much to us. It definitely expresses your commitment, your genuine commitment to the resistance and to the martyrs who sacrifice themselves in order for our country to stay proud and have dignity. Today, on this day,
بفعل
Because of the struggle, all the leaders who were assassinated became symbols for a specific period of time. There are many characteristics and merits that those personalities enjoy. Sacrifice, honesty, modesty, their love to people, their steadfastness. Every martyr of those great leaders is a platform for our march. Though their martyrdom was symbolic, was a symbol at the time they were killed. Since the fall of Palestine and the occupation of Palestine, from that time, the Israeli aggressions, and against, in particular against south of Lebanon, never stopped. Maybe some of the Lebanese do not really know what happened at the time. But the problem is that many politicians who consider themselves patriotic ignore and overlook all the aggressions that happened in the past. The Israeli aggressions against Lebanon since the 40s, from the 40s till the 70s. Even during the Israeli aggressions in the past, there are many politicians appear to say that no, Israel did not assault and perpetrate attacks against Lebanon. At the time, despite the fact that there were massacres that took place inside Palestine and in Lebanon, and there are massacres, great massacres, in which hundreds of people were killed. At the time, Lebanese interior forces used to be kidnapped by the Israelis. The Israelis never stopped their aggressions against Lebanon. That's why I want to start it from there. Before I reach the period of Sheikh Raghib, Martyr Sheikh Raghib Harb, or the Martyr Said Abbad Mousawi, all those who speak about the decision of peace and war in Lebanon, you have to know that the decision for peace or war is in the hands of the Israelis. It's not within, we don't own such a decision, but all what we do is that we defend our people and we defend our land. So when the whole world abandons our cause, what we are supposed to do except to defend our land? The decision, the Israelis have the decision. They initiate war against us. It's not us. Go and ask the military leaders of Israel and their superiors in Washington. Today, they begin to talk to us about, they criticize us for saying an open war, the term open war. In fact, open war began when Israel occupied Palestine and began to assault and perpetrate aggressions against Lebanon. Since 1948, the great Ayatollah Sayyid Abdul Hussein Sharafuddin used to talk and speak loudly, but no one ever heard. The Sayyid Abdul Hussein Sharafuddin, who was later succeeded by Imam Musa Sadr, the real founder of the resistance against the Israeli occupation. He always asked the Lebanese government to send its troops to the south to defend Lebanese people. But unfortunately, the army at the time was to protect Israel, not to protect the Lebanese people. No one listened to Imam Musa Sadr at the time. Even Imam Musa reached a point when he began to call on people to go and buy weapons to defend themselves. When he saw that the Lebanese army at the time did not want to defend them, and he asked the people of the any eventuality and from any Israeli aggression. It's so bad that some politicians from the ruling coalition say some of the ruling coalitions come out to say and protest against us. And to tell us that Imam Musa Sadr was not like this, why you behave like this? But I tell them, if you want Imam Musa Sadr to be the real judge, Imam Musa Sadr was a real patriotic. Let's go and make him the arbiter in the issue of the Arab-Israeli conflict and also on the issue of the domestic level. And I say, in the name of every fighter in Hezbollah, that we accept any letter or word Imam Musa Sadr has ever said before concerning the Arab-Israeli conflict. If you want him to be an arbiter, we accept him to be the arbiter. But anyway, aggressions continued against Lebanon. The biggest invasion took place in 1982, but that was the most critical and dangerous invasion ever against Lebanon that wanted and aimed to change the real identity of Lebanon. Despite the fact that the invasion at the time took place with the support of the whole world. At the time, frustration and helplessness prevailed in Lebanon, plus fear and grief that some said we will not get out of the Israeli era. But through the martyrdom of Sheikh Raghib Harb, he changed the course of the struggle. He became the symbol of the time when he broke actually the wall of fear. he brought about change, boosted the morale, and also launched civil confrontation, civil war against the Israelis, with the confrontation that used stones, oil. At that period, Sheikh Raghib was the symbol who refused to extend his hand to the Israelis. He refused to give in, even if they destroyed his house or killed his family. Despite the jail, he was jailed, and despite the years he spent in the jail, he did not give in. He used to move from a mosque to another in order to address people and in also to bring, give them morale and self-confidence and give them hope. So he launched a popular uprising against the Israelis at the time. When he got killed, his martyrdom gave this resistance and uprising a very big and he also boosted the morale of the resistance men who were able to kick the Israelis out of a part of South Lebanon. After 1985, a new phase began. The resistance began to function in a professional military way, began to organize itself, and began also to function and operate in the then so-called security zone. At the time, our leader was our former Secretary General, Sayyid Abbas Musawi, who was he insisted that he wanted to go to the south, even though he lived far away from the south. But he wanted to go to the south in order to be very close to the work of the resistance. He spent many years in the south. He supervised the work of the resistance. He even participated in the military planning and the military tactics. He used to go from a village to another, from a place to another, he was bearing. Sayyid Abbas Musawi spent his last years, in fact, in the car, because he used to move from a place to another. He worked day and night, all his days and nights were devoted to the resistance. His time was devoted to the resistance. He worked really hard in order to organize the resistance and also to spread new plans to defeat Israel. When he became the Secretary General of Hezbollah, he also played a very important role. But when he got killed by the Israelis, the resistance moved also to another phase. This is phase that began from the 80s, began to rise bit by bit until we reached year 2000, when Israel, when Lebanon, when the resistance was able to defeat Lebanon, defeat Israel. Israel left Lebanon in defeat because of the blood of the martyrs, our martyrs, because of the blood of Sheikh Raghib Harb, because of the blood of Sayyid Abbas al-Musawi. Imam Abbas al-Musawi, who also brought the culture of resistance to every house in Lebanon and to every house in South Lebanon. His blood was the basis for the third phase of the resistance. I can say proudly, now the new phase was, it's the symbol of the new phase after Sayyid Abbas al-Musawi became martyr Imad Mughni. Imad Mughni, who worked and developed the tactics, techniques, he expanded and exerted efforts. He increased the number of military operations against the Israelis. Imad Mughni brought a new school. It's something in the middle between the guerrilla war and the classic war. He shifted the resistance from a phase to another in terms of plans, in terms of tactics. And he also worked in a way that he did not put all responsibilities on one person. He was able to designate responsibilities. The whole world must know, and all those who know nothing about Imad Mughni, that he was the commander, the real commander, the military commander, when Israel defeated Lebanon in May 2000. He did not come out to say, "I'm Imad Mughni." He did not hold a press conference. He did not ask for thanks and praise. He was from a school that only works for the sake of God and for the sake of Allah and doesn't need any praise or thanks from anyone. Imad Mughni was the real leader for the first capture operation that happened in South Lebanon, and he was the leader for the operation that kidnapped the Israeli colonel. Imad Mughni began to establish for the new phase after 2000. After 2000, people began to live a normal life after Israel left Lebanon in defeat. But Imad Mughni did not have a normal life. He actually devoted all his time for the next period, for the next phase of resisting the Israeli occupation. When people were enjoying themselves, he was working day and night and around the clock, because he knew that Israel will perpetrate aggressions against Lebanon. And he knew that Israel will revenge for its defeat in May 2000. During the July, Israeli war in July 2006, Ahmad Mughniyeh was the leader, the real leader on the ground. This war, we were victorious in this war because we had men, we were ready, and we had great leaders headed by Ahmad Mughniyeh. So if I wanted to give Ahmad Mughniyeh a title, I would say that Ahmad Mughniyeh, through his position in Hezbollah, I would say he is the leader of the victory in May 2000 and in July 2006. And after the war, after the July war, he also began to plan for the coming phase. And we knew that Israel is going to launch another war against us. So he used to work along with his brothers. When we made our own evaluation after the July War 2006 and our own assessments, we knew our weak points. Even our assessments ended before the assessment of the enemy itself. We knew where our defects and mistakes. And we worked hard not to repeat those mistakes again. So Ahmad Mughniyeh worked so hard to achieve everything for the coming war. He actually he achieved everything he wanted to achieve and left so he became the symbol for this period of time and for the coming phase. What happened? There is a difference between a resistance that fights Israel and launches a guerrilla war inside Palestine and between resistance that defends or acts on its soil to kick the occupation out. I don't think we have seen many resistance movements in our history, but we've never seen such a resistance such as ours. On this day, I want to point out to some issues that related to the killing of Imad Mughniyya. First of all, his assassination took place 25 years after chasing this man. They've tried to kidnap or kill Imad Mughniyya many times in the past. 25 years later, they killed him. But what's the difference between Imad Mughniyya and others? Imad Mughniyya was able to stay in hiding and also distance himself from people and make some security precautions. Maybe they wouldn't be able to kill him if he did so. If he wanted, he would probably be able to live a normal life, just like others. But Imad Mughniyya refused. But I think the Israelis said it was a big achievement that they killed Imad Mughniyya. But we say the real achievement is that Imad Mughniyya was present everywhere, on all grounds. He was everywhere on the border, on the front line. The Israelis probably never thought that they would think that Imad Mughniyya would go to the front line. And they might never think that on this hill or that mountain, Imad Mughniyya could be present. Imad Mughniyya was not really in hiding. The achievement is that Imad Mughniyya remained alive for almost 25 years. This is the real achievement, despite his active movement everywhere on the ground. Second, concerning the investigation into the killing, is still continuous. It's no doubt that it's the responsibility of Syria, because the killing took place in Syria. There is some talk about a joint Iranian-Syrian and Hezbollah committee to investigate into the killing. This was not true. This piece of information is not true. The Syrians are actually conducting investigations, and they should continue to do so. We are in touch with the Syrian authorities, and we know that they are serious to reach constructive results. Regardless of all the rumors that have been spread in the media, that they want, I want to assure you that all the information that we got through the investigation proves that Israel was behind the killing. Third, we know that Israel is the enemy, and Israel is responsible, number one, for the killing. And I was decisive about this issue. But despite this fact, there are some who would like to deviate these realities. I just can't understand that some foreign countries who shut down their cultural centers in Lebanon, or I can't understand why some Arab states warned its citizens not to go to Lebanon. Because I want to tell you, our war is not with you, it's with Israel. I have never accused anyone outside the framework of Israel. If you were of those countries, were careful from a third party that might enter and do something, yes, you have to say this. But do not give the impression, another impression. Because there are probably other parties who has interest in making this kind of tension or enter the line in order to make a division between Hezbollah and others. We ask those countries to behave in a responsible way, unless there's some who would like to make advantage of this event in order to overthrow and destroy the Arab initiative, and not to bring solution to Lebanon, and also give impression that Lebanon is on the brink of civil war. Fourth, the Hezbollah strategy, unfortunately in Lebanon, they don't, some of the Lebanese politicians do not hear what you really say. The resistance strategy still, as it was before, is to liberate the remaining occupied land and to release and bring back Lebanese detainees in Israeli prisons and to defend Lebanon from any potential Israeli aggression. Despite our pain, we still support any national dialogue that leads to a national defense strategy in which the Lebanese government and the Lebanese hold real serious responsibility. We do support such a thing, and we think this is in the best interest of Lebanon. But about the disappearance of Israel, you, the friends of Israel, listen to me, that removing Israel is inevitable. Israel will disappear, and this is inevitable. And according to the religion, and according to the history, this is a very natural result to all the criminal act that Israel is committing. This is inevitable because for objective reasons. I don't want to lecture right now, but I would say that Israel's presence is in the region is only temporary. The second that Israel does not exist because of its own power, it exists because of the power of the other countries, such as the United States. Third, because of the Palestinian steadfastness and the Palestinian resistance, Israel cannot bear to continue like this. Those people who refuse to abandon Palestine or to hand over Al-Quds, they need nothing. They will not replace Palestine by any other land. for people to resist for 60 years, despite all these difficult circumstances that surround them, and despite this proves that Israel will be defeated one day, that there will be no future for Israel. In the past, I've said the Israelis are afraid of, they're always concerned about their existence. Even if the Palestinians did not carry weapons, then what would happen if the Palestinians carried weapons? Without weapons, they are concerned about their future. Some Arab states also still resist the Israeli occupation, such as Syria. And the Arab people also still resist and refuse the Israeli entity. Even though the Arab leadership are not for their people, even though they have completely different policies, but Arab people and people in the Arab and Islamic world will never accept the existence of Israel. Our people will not forgive the Zionists who committed massacres in Deir Yassin and Kana and other places. Those people will isolate Israel and always consider it to be a foreign body. In the past, I've said that Sharon would be the last dictator that would govern Israel. Now, what we see, people such as Olmert, but they are not real leaders. Those people are small. Those leaders are small. They represent nothing. This man is stupid. There is no real leadership nowadays in Israel. There is no real doctrine in Israel. Netanyahu himself said one day that doctrine can no more exist within the minds and hearts of the Israeli people. Look at the Israeli society nowadays. Look at the percentage of disunity, corruption, internal fight, drugs, gangs in the streets. So there is no real doctrine for Israel right now. Now even soldiers refuse to go and join the Israeli army. And most importantly, now there is no confidence within the Israeli the military institution. The soldiers do not trust officers, and officers do not trust soldiers. The results that we see, those results, is because of the victory that happened in South Lebanon, it's because we were victorious and they were defeated. And it's because of the uprising of the Palestinian people. When Ben Gurion says that if Israel loses the only one war, Israel would disappear. And Israel lost the war. There have been discussions inside Israel in the past that they defeated the Arabs in 1973. But in Lebanon, this was not the case. Lebanon was victorious, despite the fact that there are some Lebanese politicians do not want such victory to take place. They want us to be defeated, not Israel. In Israel now, there's a consensus that Israel lost the war in front of thousands of Hezbollah fighters. Israeli army lost the war. When we talk about the July War 2006 and the what happens after the July War 2006, and that's what I meant when I said, when we, during the burial service of Imad Mughni, I said, the blood of Imad Mughni will establish a new phase of defeating Israel. Yes, Israel will be defeated, and the blood of Imad Mughni will establish for a new phase. Nowadays, the Israelis threaten to launch a war. Before the assassination of Mughni, they have also threatened us. But we look at the assassination of Imad Mughni as a preemptive war. It's not just a retaliation or a threat that Imad Mughni represents, but we consider it to be a preemptive war against Lebanon and against the region. This is how we look at the issue. The Israelis say clearly, they say that there are many leaders that have to be killed, many resistance leaders that have to be killed. And this is one of the things they plan after the July War 2006. They know that such as Imad Mughni and other leaders were the base and are the base of any war against Israel. So they wanted to eliminate the resistance leaders. Imad Mughni was killed in the course of an open war against Lebanon and in the course of preemptive war that Israel wants to launch against Lebanon. Whether they accepted this reality or we refused this reality, at the end, the Israelis decided to do so. There are some within the ruling coalition in Lebanon, they spread news such as the Israeli war against Hezbollah is coming and Israel is going to eradicate Hezbollah. That's why maybe probably they're not in a hurry to strike a deal with their fellow Lebanese. They don't want a solution or an agreement between the Lebanese. The Americans are very clear. They said, we reject any settlement among the Lebanese. And they say, we reject the Arab initiative to solve the Lebanese crisis. The ruling coalition began to say that we have abandoned any commitment that we have said to the opposition. And they say that after the anniversary of the Rafiq Hariri, the ruling coalition, they always say, we are the majority. And also they represent the Christian majority. I have two suggestions. If you want to know who is the majority, then I have a suggestion. You call for a demonstration and we call for a demonstration. Then we will see on the ground who actually has the majority. Then we will see who has the majority with your own eyes. And if you're afraid to do so, I would accept and if you are afraid, then I would say that you have spent millions of dollars and used the mass media in order to bring people downtown to commemorate Hariri killing. You have brought them from all over Lebanon. At the time there was Ashura, the last day of Ashura. We had all our people on the ground. And if you accept, then bring a third party to give his own judgment to see who had the majority. Is it you or is it us? If you were the majority, I would accept to give you to govern. I would accept that you govern Lebanon, and we will abandon our opposition. I know you're not going to do this. But I want to say that the ruling coalition have taken the Hariri anniversary as a pretext in order to abandon their commitment with the opposition. And on all the visits and meetings that take place now around the world by some Lebanese officials is based on these grounds, that they don't want any settlement or solution with the opposition. So what do they want? They tell their people, their cadres, just as the Americans told them, that we have to resist for a few months, then things will change. Why? Because there is a war in the region, or war against Hezbollah in Lebanon, and Hezbollah will be destroyed and eradicated. And then the opposition will be defeated, and you will win the battle. The Israelis speak about such, like this all the time. Listen to me carefully. You, the Lebanese, you are addressing the Lebanese and the people in the Arab and Islamic world, that you look at our arena that is threatened all the time, or that will be threatened. I would tell you, our arena was threatened all the time. What did the Israelis do to us? All the wars that they launched against us was aimed to eliminate Hezbollah and to eliminate the resistance. And if any coming war, the Israelis know that the Israeli Air Force can do nothing. So what they want, they might do, they might use their infantries and launch an invasion on the ground. But so the Israelis might launch ground operations and ground invasion. But I would tell you, we are ready for any confrontation. We are ready to make another victory again. Nor the Israelis, nor their collaborators. No one can do anything to us, even if you launch an internal war and use your allies in Lebanon to launch an internal war against us. I would tell you that Israel will not be protected from our rockets. All of Israel. The brothers, Imad Mughni's brothers, became stronger. Those great mujahideen will fight the Israeli army if thought of entering or invading Lebanon in every valley, on every road. I would tell the Israelis, you will leave Lebanon dead. You will leave, your soldiers will die in Lebanon. I address the killers, the Israelis. I swear by God that in any new war against Lebanon, we will fight you anywhere, everywhere, that you will never witness such a war in your history. Your army will be destroyed in the south. Your tanks will be destroyed in south of Lebanon. And Israel will be without any army. And Israel without an army will definitely be defeated. When I say that resistance strategy is to defend Lebanon, this is one thing. But there's another thing. Our legitimate right is to defend ourselves. When we get killed outside the natural borders and outside Lebanon, we cannot keep silent to this killing. And we cannot allow the enemy to go on with to kill us anywhere in the world. We will not allow such a thing to happen. Many things have been said to us. Why you don't go to the Security Council to complain? How could we go to a Security Council that even refused to issue a statement to denounce the killing or the massacre that took place in Kana, to denounce the killing of our children? They kill Imad Mughni. The Security Council keeps silent. But if anything happens to Israel, the Security Council would meet and issue issue a statement to denounce any act. They say to us, go to the International Tribunal. Which International Tribunal are you talking about? Which the International Tribunal that's supervised by Bush, by Sarkozy? That the International Tribunal, who's ironically, its general attorney is some Lebanese officials, such as Samir Jahja and Wili Jumblat. Which justice do you ask from these tribunals? To whom we would go back? To who? To the Lebanese government that even ignored our victory against Israel in July 2006? Those people are corrupt. This government that feel shy and feel ashamed because we were victorious. Where do you want us to go? To the international community to complain? That always gives the right to gave the right to Israel to attack Lebanon in July 2006. Why? Because the resistance captured two Israeli soldiers to bring back our own detainees in Israeli prisons. So they don't give us even the right to defend ourselves, while they give the Israelis the right to launch attack and commit massacres against us. Do you accept, you the people, do you accept to go back and resort to those international institutions? I'm sure you would not accept such a thing. Do you want our land, our country? Do you want us to lose this country? From the very beginning, we have said, that we even don't pay any attention to the Security Council. And all those who even ignore us, and those who conspire against us, from the very beginning to the end, we all resort to God. He is the protector. And He is the one that gives us dignity and honor. He is the one that grants us victory. And we not only depend on God, but we only depend on our own fighters. We depend on our own fighters. And we depend on the support and love that's been given to us by our own people. We rely on our great people who are steadfast, who have never been weakened by any threat. I know that you are the most dignified, the most honored people. Because God is with us, we trust Him and He trusts us. And because tens of thousands, such as Ahmad Mughni, will be present, and because our people are people of honor and dignity, we will never accept humiliation, and we will never give in. That's why we will defend ourselves in any way we think it's possible, and in any appropriate time, and in the place that we choose. We choose the place and the timing for any retaliation against the Israelis. With our will and courage, we will defend our people, and we retaliate for the Mughni killing. You, Ahmad Mughni, were the real leader. I would say on this day, as I said during the memorial service, I want to say, I swear by God that your blood will not go unpunished. Your blood will not go without punishing the Israelis. Your blood will not. We will retaliate for your blood. I ask God to give His blessings to all our martyrs, and ask people to show more steadfastness and to show more support And may God bless us to continue the line, the path of Imad Mughni, and to hold on to their path, to those leaders who devoted all their time for the resistance. May God, may peace be upon all of you. Goodbye.
Well, we can see the Lebanese nation there saluting Hezbollah Secretary General Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, addressing the Lebanese nation in a memorial ceremony for its military commander Imad Mughniyeh, as well as former Secretary General of Hezbollah Abbas Mousavi. Among the main points he referred to was that this war was started when Israel occupied Palestine, and ending this war is not in Lebanon's hands. He also mentioned that Lebanon will follow Imam Musa Sadr's movement and let him be our arbiter. That was a direct quote by Hassan Nasrallah there. He pointed to he lauded Sheikh Raghib. He said that he broke the wall of fear and he launched civil war against Israelis with the symbolic stones that we regularly see. He boosted our morale through martyrdom. He then went to Abbas Mousavi and praised him as saying that he brought the resistance culture into Lebanon. And then he finally referred to Imad Mughniyeh. As you know, he was just killed a week ago. And as Hezbollah Secretary General mentioned, documents have proven that Israel was behind his assassination. He praised Imad Mughniyeh for his role in the war against Lebanon. Well, he said this assassination was, of course, an achievement for Lebanon, since it happened 25 years after Israel chased this man. Nasrallah called the Lebanese resistance a unique resistance, and he also said that Israel is the top enemy for Lebanon. He said that Hezbollah intends to liberate the remaining occupied lands and protect Lebanon against further aggression. But still, he mentioned that Hezbollah welcomes national dialogue, which will lead to a national defense mechanism. He, of course, mentioned that Israel's existence relies on its allies, particularly the United States, and the Islamic world will never recognize the existence of Israel. And finally, he referred to the point that if Israel attacks Lebanon, Lebanon will retaliate and will shower Israel with missiles. Well, that was Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, the Secretary General of Hezbollah, speaking there. We'll give you updates on that story and what happened there.